Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Almost exactly a year ago, New York Magazine senior art critic Jerry Saltz wrote a piece that was posted on April 2nd, 2020, entitled "The Last Days of the Art World and Perhaps the First Days of a New One." He wrote, quote, "In 3 months or 6 months or God forbid 12 or 18, there has never been a vaccine for coronavirus. There will be galleries on the other side of this chasm and museums and artists making work, of course. But I worry that such a sundering will only exacerbate the inequalities that more and more dominate this universe, with mega galleries and art stars surviving and the gap between them and everyone else only widening, rendering the scrappier artists and galleries something close to invisible." In the years since that piece was posted, we've lived through the shuttering of physical art spaces and reckonings with social injustices. So as a new slate of surveys and retrospectives are coming to museums as they're starting to open in person, what will be different? Joining me now is New York Magazine senior art critic and friend of the show, Jerry Saltz. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Allison Stewart. Great to hear you.
I can't wait to see you next time.
Likewise.
Hopefully in the fall. So when you think about that piece, Jerry, of the changes and challenges you expected versus the changes and challenges that appeared, what do you think are the ones that are going to be lasting, and what are the ones that are most welcome?
A couple of things, Allison. More galleries than we thought survived, and that is because they weren't being milked dry by this endless string of art fairs that they had to go to in order to make money. Sometimes that could cost them $500,000 of, you know, flying to Torino or wherever they were going. And if art didn't sell, they were in trouble and they had to pay for shipping, everything. They're not going there. So what happens is they started saving money. They also weren't flying to openings and biennials and all of that. More money saved. And collectors, it turned out, need to collect at least enough that kept a lot of middle and lower tier galleries going. The big got bigger. This pandemic was fabulous for the whiteocracy, for the already wealthy really got wealthy. And you can see that in the mega galleries just getting bigger with bigger footprints. That doesn't make them bad, but it makes them bigger and will be harder to get around them. But one last thing I want to say about looking back, everybody that just went through this, that we're still going through as the angel of death walks among us, I will say everybody listening to this is part of the next real greatest generation. You have a chance to do something I was lucky enough to do in the 1970s, 80s, and 90s, which was to build a new art world. This is yours. Commercial real estate in New York and most cities is terrible. It's cratered. So rent a space. Make a terrible show. If you build it, they might come. There are 100,000 new uniforms awaiting you.
There was big news at MoMA this week that the chairman stepped down after substantial protests from activists and artists due to his financial ties to the late Jeffrey Epstein. There have been other protests about board members at other institutions because of their financial holdings, which are perhaps less clear-cut than the Epstein situation. But big picture, Jerry, do you think the power of activism is here to stay, and how can it have long-term effects, if so?
Right. Well, art and dirty money have been sleeping together for centuries. What's happened is the money has just gotten so much more visible that we can see how dirty some of it is. And of course, in a elite world like the art world, there's going to be some real rich cats, and that probably 50% of them might be Trumpist Republicans. Well, it's time to take a look at that and say, how much of a deal with this devil do we want to make? I think you can draw lines. America's never going to have a fully government-funded museum, arts, program because, well, I myself would not want Congress deciding what goes at the Whitney or MoMA. So I think that the activism going forward is going to be stronger than ever because now when, say, a gallery or museum does not show artists of color or, say, women, well, we now know that is an ultra-conscious decision. And so we can ask them simply to explain themselves a little. And I think that that's really healthy going forward. But we're still going to be taking money from people you may not like. This includes artists, by the way, Allison. They often sell art to people they don't like. I mean, Jared Kushner and Ivanka owned so much of the art that we were praising. So what are you going to do? It's good that this has come. It's time.
My guest is Jerry Salt, senior art critic at New York Magazine. One of the biggest art stories in the past month was about NFTs. It's the hybrid of digital media and blockchain tech, and there's a lot of money being spent on them. From your perspective, what impact do you see this new medium and this new market having on art?
Great question. First of all, NFT is a tool, not unlike the camera, the typewriter, the ballpoint pen. It is what you will do with the tool or the material or the platform. So far, what's been done with it has been absolute crapola. The Beeple artist who called his own work crap, and he's right. If you look at the 5,000 images, Allison, in that work, it is sickeningly, disgustingly racist, misogynist, homophobic. You will not believe it when you start looking at them. But again, the bro tech world that accumulated this and manufactured this mass cryptocurrency wealth, well, they are investing in their own thing, which means that right now, those numbers, not the material, that's a bubble. That's fine with me. But there will be a Francis Bacon of NFTs. There will be good art made with the material, just as once upon a time lithography was new, and Renaissance artists started using it, or whatever printmaking technology. That will come as no surprise. So don't hate the tool. It's the players again. It's the same bros, and they make screensavers that take less time to make than it does to look at them, and so far, the work you're seeing is no good, and artists will get involved and make work. And we won't just be talking about the stupid market. Let the rubes and guys spend all that money. Only two at the top make it back, and they make a killing of all the rest, which is fine by me. I want all artists to make money, the good, the bad, and the very bad.
Let's talk about a show that we can see in real life at the Met. It's a retrospective of painter Alice Neal's work. It opened last week called Alice Neal, People Come First. Why should someone go see this show, Jerry?
Well, wow. This is as close to a blockbuster as we are going to get in our COVID, timed admission, socially distanced moment. With three other women artists, Julie Meritu, Nikki de Saint Phalle, and finally Alice Neal. Three tremendous women are having shows in New York. Alice Neal was born in 1900, lived in the village, and then moved uptown to 107th Street in her 30s. She lost a child to diphtheria when she was 20-something. She had her second daughter kidnapped to Cuba. And then she had a massive nervous breakdown. She recovered somehow. She moves to the village. She starts taking and shedding lovers. She's a Marxist. She's a socialist. She's an activist. She's an artist that will go on to see a lover burn over 300 of her works and destroy paintings. And still she paints on with almost no recognition. She is a power almost like Picasso. She gives us uptown life, downtown life. She paints the greatest portrait of Andy Warhol I've ever seen, of this damaged, introverted anti-Andy, like uncle and anti-Andy. He's stripped and has scars all over him. You see him wearing corset from when he was shot 2 years before in 1968. And finally, what I don't want any of your viewers to miss is a subject she handled better than any artist in the history of Western painting, and that is pregnancy, childbirth, and women with their children. And when we look at these subjects, have you ever seen a painting of childbirth? It is astounding in Neil's hands. Or mothers with their children that look with a look that I have not seen since the Renaissance old masters, when Mary looked at her child and seemed to have a foreknowledge that this child was doomed, that this child would leave her, live its own life, and that her soul would be forever divided because her love was now outside of her. Alice Neal is a great artist and among the greatest portraiturists that's ever lived, and now you can see her at the Met. And please, please go.
Before I let you go, Julie Marich, who's going to be on the show in about 25 minutes.
Hey, boom.
What should I ask her, Jerry?
Wow. What a long, fantastic journey it's been, that she came from these mapping of different sort of systems and technology. And now I think she's 50 years old. I knew her when she was a student at RISD.
Mm-hmm.
She's ventured into the domain of abstraction itself and is beginning to make real inroads there. And her ambition and scale always speak first for her. In the same way that Nikki de Saint Phalle started by shooting paint at walls and stuff, and then made this gigantic race of tremendous female figures. There's just so much going on right now. And now is a moment for, I'm sorry, it may not come natural, but positivity. We have to tell ourselves, look, we just went through all this, and we are going through this, and we are heroes. And we're going to take the stage and enjoy. Pleasure is a form of knowledge.
Jerry Saltz is New York Magazine's senior art critic. Jerry, thanks as always.
Keep up the great work there. It's been an amazing year for me, trapped in my house listening to you guys.
Thanks, Jerry.